The reading today is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36, and can be found on page 1039 of the Church Bibles. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Am I? Father God, we pray very much that you will tell us what all this means. For each one of us, it's going to be a difference. Something different that you want us to take from this. And so we pray that you will be with us as we work our way through it. Amen. Amen. So there seems to be a phrase at the moment that says, if you know, you know. I don't know where this phrase came from, but... Mike, could you put that picture up? Here we go. In the olden days, some of us used to use this. Connor's looking at me as though I'm bonkers. Yes, we really did. In the olden days, we used to use this. And those of you that didn't ever use one of these can understand that there's a magnetic tape here. And that as the spools go round, the music goes round with it. You can understand that. The pencil. Because when you put the thing in the machine, what used to happen was that. And what you use the pencil for was to roll it back again, if I'm rolling it the right way around, to try and make, and you hoped to goodness that it didn't twist up or break. And only those of you that have done it will understand the emotion that goes with that. You've just sat there, listened to the top 10, and you've recorded all those songs, and then you might have lost them. So you might know, you might understand, but some of us really understand. That's the idea of today. Right, I've just done the first half page. I could, I guess, have got a tape machine and a radio and given you all a go so that you could understand it for yourself. But it really isn't worth the palaver. Music has gone on, life has gone on. But understanding and really knowing are different. Because that's the whole point of this reading. For Jesus wasn't interested in tapes or CDs or whatever. What really did matter was that his disciples really did know who he was. You know, they'd seen him do miracles. They'd read their readings. They'd worked it out from the prophets. They've worked it out from their Bible. And they'd seen him do things. So sort of head knowledge. They knew he was amazing. They knew he was maybe the Son of God. But they worked it out. What they needed, what Jesus needed for them to know, was they needed to know it, to really know it. Why was that important? It was because the next step in Jesus' mission depended on them. Because Jesus came to earth to be a man. Right? Then he was killed as a sacrifice for all the people who said yes to him. That's all the people around the world and all the people throughout time. For his followers, which includes us, he destroyed death. But if his disciples couldn't make people know this, then it was all a waste of his effort. So the message going out and reverberating around the world, even to us here now, depended on those men. So to give the men, those disciples, the courage of their convictions, they had to really, really know that Jesus was the Son of God. And the way to do that was to show them. Let them experience it, and then they would know. So up a mountain they went. Now, when anyone in the Bible goes up a mountain, you know that something important is going to happen. You know, in the films, when they have that special music coming on, it's like a visual soundtrack. But you think about them, it must have been quite hard work, climbing up a mountain and then stopping with Jesus to pray. I mean, it's no wonder Peter became sleepy. I think we all would. But what really woke them up, they became fully awake as they saw the appearance of Jesus' face changed. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And then two men appeared, and they were Moses and Elijah. Now Moses, he was the chap that was put into a basket as a baby to escape being killed. And when he grew up, he was the leader who led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And he went up a mountain and met with God and got the Ten Commandments, the laws for God's people to obey. So Moses sort of had the laws. And Elijah, he was a main prophet and he was a spokesman of God. So between them, Moses and Elijah, they represented all that was important in the Jewish religion so far, the law and the prophets. And here they are. Up a mountain, all of them in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus, talking about Jesus' departure from the world at Jerusalem in a few days' time. Now, Moses and Elijah had both themselves had strange departures. Moses had died, but God buried him, and no one knows where his grave is. That's in Deuteronomy. Chapter 34, verse 6, if you want to look it up. So Moses, nobody knows where he's buried. Elijah didn't die at all. In 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 11, as they were walking and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. So there's your answer to all those quizzes that you do. Who's the oldest person in the world? It's Elijah, because he didn't die. Don't you wish you could have earwigged that conversation, discussing Jesus' departure, which was going to happen shortly in Jerusalem? You know, Moses could say, well, when I exited the world, this happened. And Elijah would say, well, when I exited the world, this happened. And Jesus is going, well, this is how I'm going to do it. Anyway, so here are the two men of their religious history for the disciples, who, between them, they were the embodiment of that religion. Everything that the disciples would have known, They were chatting with Jesus in glorious splendor, with clothes as bright as a flash of lightning. I mean, no wonder the disciples woke up. You know, what on earth is going on? Jesus looks different. He's amazingly awesome. And he's chatting away with the men who are our religion. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. And so no wonder Peter sort of lost it a bit. I mean, there was a bit of sense behind what he was saying, but basically he was starstruck. You know that moment when you meet your hero and your mind and your knees go to mush? That's what was happening to Peter. Emotion overload. But that wasn't the end of it. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And if you know any of the Exodus story, God was the cloud that led them by day, and God was the cloud at the top of the mountain with Moses. The disciples would have known very well who the cloud up a mountain represented. And then if that wasn't enough, they heard the voice. "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." Well, by now, they absolutely did know. Every fibre of their very being knew this was God talking about his son. Then suddenly, Jesus was alone. Moses and Elijah had gone. The cloud was gone. And they had to get down the mountain. It must have been quite a climb, because the next verse says, the next day when they came down from the mountain. So it wasn't a quick jog up and down. And it gave them time to think, time to assimilate, possibly time to discuss it with Jesus. But time to think. This was really special. And they didn't spoil it by telling anyone else. It was just too raw an emotion. And just at the moment, too much to think through. Moses and Elijah had gone. They had handed over to Jesus. Jesus had said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Sacrifice was needed according to the law. And he was that sacrifice. Maybe that's what he was talking about with them. He was the fulfillment of the whole story. Moses came with the law. Jesus is the answer to the law. And it did have the effect that Jesus needed, because many years later, Peter wrote in one of his letters, he says, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." That's in Peter's second letter. He vividly remembers that life-changing moment. So for us, we're not going to go up a mountain with Jesus. But that doesn't mean to say that we will never have a moment of closeness to Jesus and a moment of complete awe as we realize just who he is. We can only learn from Peter that the Jesus that we so often read about, being the servant, healing people, comforting them, feeding them, is actually the Son of God, the one who took over from Moses and Elijah, who made it possible for us to be part of that story by being the sacrifice that was required by the law of Moses for us. We can read the Bible. We can follow courses of religious teaching, and we can learn from each other. And all that is good, because it prepares us for when the knowledge drops from our brain into our heart and into every fibre of our being. Then we can say, "Yes, I understand and I know the glory of Jesus." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you. We just thank you beyond thankfulness that you came to earth and that you did this for us, that you And that you explained it to Peter and his friends. Help us to remember this story. Amen.